Returning to the book of Zechariah, the Old Testament, the last book but one of the Old Testament scriptures. And we are reading at chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Zechariah. We will read it together, taking your time from me and really speak it out. Don't mumble it like Episcopalians or Romanists. Speak it out. It's the good, the blessed word of God. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. Lord, waken this congregation, I say, as a man that waketh out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereon, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereon. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered, and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered, and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. But who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Ending our lesson at verse 14, and God will stamp with his own divine approval this reading from his very own infallible book for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, amen. Last Lord's Day morning, we had a look at this wonderful text that is found in this fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? We saw last Lord's Day morning that the Lord Jesus Christ on three occasions sharply and sternly and passionately rebuked his apostle. And he used the tag on each of them, O ye of little faith. He denounced, first of all, human care that keeps our faith little and weak and struggling. He denounced human fear that keeps our faith weak and struggling. He denounced human doubt that keeps our faith weak and struggling. And he denounced human reason which keeps our faith weak and struggling. I want to come for that, and I want to concentrate this morning on the word, the day of small things. The day of small things. At my study desk, I was pondering that statement, and the Lord showed me that that's a term of scorn. The scorn of the world. Because no day that God is in could be a small day. And God is in every day. He doesn't leave us on Sunday and not return until the following Sunday. God is with us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And God showed me that if at the heart of the day there is the everlasting God, then that day cannot be a small day. People may think from outward appearances that it's small. But nothing is small when God is in it. And God is in every day. Now, this little matter is important. The Lord said, O ye of little faith. Why is your faith? Why is your discernment little? One of the things that are so lacking in the church today is spiritual discernment. I'm surprised how Christians are so easily deceived by false doctrine and by the foolishness of ecumenism and the foolishness of Romanism. But it happened. And then it leads to little experience. Little knowledge produces little discernment. For if a man doesn't know, he can't discern. Little discernment leads to little experience. For if he has no discernment, he cannot enter into the great experiences of the Scripture. And if he has little experience, he has little life. His life is only ticking over. He hasn't thoroughly awakened to the awakening, alarming cry of God, awake, 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 thou that sleepeth. Arise from the dead, for Christ shall give you life. And that little life brings little experiences of Christian graces and a desire for the souls of. But let me say something to you today. A little knowledge is better than no knowledge at all. A little discernment is better than no discernment at all. A little experience is better than no experience at all. A little life is better than no life at all. For if you had no life at all, you'd be absolutely dead. And a little life will bring a little of the graces of God. I have been surprised as I have read the scripture of one fact, that all the writers of the Bible all go back to the beginning. They all go back to their first roots of the gospel. If you read the epistles of Paul, you'll be amazed how many times he returns to the great fundamentals and the beginning. It's because we have not been thoroughly planted in the beginning. It's because we haven't been thoroughly been taken up with the wonder and the mystery of the beginning, that we haven't the power that we ought to have to do the work and will of God. A question is often asked of me, Mr. Paisley, how can I have faith? The apostles prayed, increase our faith. How can I have faith? And I have said to them, I'm amazed that you ask that question. Because by asking that question, you reveal your total ignorance of the Bible. If you turn with me to that great foundation portion of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. The 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And you will remember some of the great things that are said in that particular chapter. But here is the key. I told you Paul went back to the beginning. And in this chapter he goes back to the beginning and he deals with righteousness. The fundamental truth is that the righteousness of Christ has got to be imputed to me, or I can't have a beginning. Look at verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Here's the root of the whole matter, the beginning of the whole matter. And then when we come down, we are told how to get saved. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Not a doubt about it. That's the way you get saved. I had a friend of mine, and he always would tell me he was preaching the Roman way of salvation. And I said, I don't like that Roman part of it. But I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the 10th chapter of Romans, he says, exactly.
That's the Roman way. Sat down there in this epistle to the church at Rome. Not the church of Rome, but the church at Rome. But then come down a little farther to verse 17. And here you have the answer. Now, if you do not have faith, don't you dare to blame anybody but yourself. You're responsible for your faith. What does it say? It says, so then faith cometh. How does faith come? Here we have the advent of faith. How does faith come into a man's heart? How does faith come into a woman's heart? A child's heart? So then, faith cometh by hearing. And how does hearing come? And hearing by the Word of God. So you don't have faith today because faith has not come by hearing. And hearing has not come by the Word of God. That's why you have little faith. Oh, ye of 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 little faith. Four times the Lord said it, but faith is available to you. It's for the asking. Every person that belongs to this church, I know, has a copy of the Holy Scriptures. A copy of the Authorized Version, I hope, and not some other perversion. And if you tell me you've got a perversion, I'll call with you, dear, this week, and I'll take it away and I'll give you a decent Bible, an Authorized Version Bible. Let me tell you this. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, I am not saying to you, and I want to make this very clear, it's not the amount of the Bible that you read gives you faith. It's the amount of the Bible that you heed gives you faith. Would you get that? A young fellow said to me, I'll be the greatest preacher in the world. Says I, son, how are you going to do that? He says, I'm going to read so much of the Bible. I'll have so much faith. Well, I said, that's a good thing, though. I believe in reading the Bible. A preacher that doesn't read the Bible at least twice a year, he's half backslidden. And a Christian that doesn't read the Bible once every year, he's already backslidden. So I better get the penitent forms ready for you all to repent and believe the Word. But I said, it's not just reading. A man said to me, once I told him that I had read the Bible three times in the year, he said, did it do you much good? It did. And he said, well, that's the devil. Let me say to you, what he said to me, he said, Mr. Paisley, you're not taking it all in, are you? No, but I said, look, if I have a glass and I put it under the water tap and I let it overflow and overflow and overflow, the glass is still cleansed. So the Word of God has a cleansing effect as you read it. But it is not the mere reading of the Word. And I need to really emphasize, it is the heeding of the Word. What's wrong with this microphone? Is the preacher preaching too hard? Last Sunday I was accused of not speaking loud enough. So I said, I'll din them this Sunday morning. and let them know there's nothing wrong with my voice. A dear wee woman last Sunday, she says, your voice is as good as ever. Says, I would you like to hear it really raised? Let me tell you something. It's the heating. Faith cometh by heeding. By hearing. By hearing. Now we're not hearing. You can't hear the word of God if your heart is dimmed with the noise of the world. You're not hearing. You'll not hear the word of God if your ears are filled with the cries of men and the babel sounds of an corrupted age in which we live. We've got to heed the word, a hearing that is heeding. Now it says here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that does not say I'm hearing in the word of God, although that is implied. But it's hearing by the word of God. What does it mean? It means that this word has power to make itself felt in the heart and in the mind and in the soul and in the life of the believer. You see, you can hear the word of God, and you have the word of God in your hand, but that's not having the power of the word with such power in your heart that that word applies itself to your soul. Did you ever read a chapter of the Bible and it gripped you? Or am I talking to people that are ignorant of the grip of the word? You sat down with your Bible, and as you read it, there was a text gripped you. As Mr. Spurgeon used to say, it came out from the thicket, and it caught me by the neck, and it wouldn't let me go, and it said, if you don't preach on me, I'll choke you, Spurgeon. Well, that's a preacher's text. But I'm talking about a child of God. I was thinking of this scripture today, and there was a text that gripped me. I'm going to say a word about it at the communion table. Can't get away from it. It's burning in my heart now. A text that grips. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, if every Christian that's in this church this morning would make up their mind that they're going to have this week an increase in faith, then here is the way. I started off by saying a little knowledge is better than no knowledge. Well, this little knowledge that I'm giving you or trying to impart to you today, what a blessing it can be in all our hearts. If every one of us here this morning decide I'm going to have my faith increase. And don't I need my faith increase? Don't I need to be strong in faith? Do I want the Lord every day that I'm going to heaven to say to me, O ye of little faith? When you're standing before the gates of heaven, will Christ say to you, come in, O ye of little faith? Or will he say, daughter, great is your faith. Man, great is your faith. So we make up our minds that we're going to have this faith. And there is one thing that I'm greatly concerned about among God's people, is this faith in the gospel to reach the souls of men. why my heart is delighted. When I pick up my emails from the European Institute of Christian Studies, from across the world, so many people hearing the gospel, hearing the gospel through the website. Roman Catholics, and leaving Rome, and leaving the old, coming to the freedom of the gospel by simply hearing the word of God. So terrible is the threat of our station now that the Roman Catholics have put out a new station, and they've called it Ian Paisley to get the ring in. And on that website, they do nothing but blast me and blast it 24 hours a day, and I'm blasted every day, and they don't even miss the extra day and the leap year. They blast me every day. But something happening. People that never heard of my sight have now heard of it, and they're coming to get the real truth. And these things have happened unto me for the furtherance of the gospel. Think of it. A nun came to Christ. She wrote to me and she said, I wondered what I would do. And I decided what I would do. That I would visit every day every Roman Catholic chapel that I passed in my car. I would go in and I would put a gospel tract on every seat and into every confessional box. And she says, I'm having a wonderful time. A wonderful time. A poor, benighted Romanist nun saved with faith in the book. Takes her track. Think of her. Send a prayer to heaven for her. Some places she's well received. Some places says that she's not well received. And some places she's not received at all. But she goes on at it. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Man from West Belfast. His father and mother took him away to save him from Protestant bigotry. When he came under conviction of sin, a man told him he should listen to me on the web. He said, I wouldn't listen to that man. I fled from Belfast to get away from him. Well, he said, you better flee back again. And he went down and got the website up, got saved. Went down to the chapel, told the priest he wasn't coming back. He said, I don't need your services anymore. I have got forgiveness of sins. Wrote to see could he get a gospel preaching church where he would hear the gospel. My friend, let me tell you, if we only had this faith, and it's at our disposal now. God wants us to have faith. And you can make up your mind today, I am going to read my Bible differently because I'm going to read it to heed it. And if I read it to heed it, I'll have faith. And when I pray for my family, God will hear my prayer and save them. And you know what I have discovered recently? That one by one, the families of the sea of people are being saved. One by one. Wonderful conversion. Brothers that were as hard as hell's midnight now have they come to elder years are now coming to Christ. Hearing about a big man been saved the other day, his mother long since in the grave. But mother's prayers were not in the grave. Because God tells me the prayers of the saints are before his altar. And God the other day answered a mother's prayers. Her lips have been silent for nearly 25 years. but our prayer was not silent to God. We need a baptism of faith. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes. God is a specialist. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He can do just what no other can do. Oh, my friend, I trust that something will work within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will see this book as a new book today. A book to be heeded. Increase my faith. Wouldn't it be lovely if the Lord could look down on this congregation and commend our faith? Not criticize it or condemn it, but commend it. Read the New Testament and find how many people the Lord commended for their faith. And you will find those people have their prayers already answered. You just look at it. Oh, my friend, God wants us in this day of darkness, when there's little knowledge and little discernment and little experience and little life and little of the graces of Christ manifest. He wants us all to take a stride forward in faith. And remember, the day of small things cannot never be small, because the great God is in every day. And faith makes every day a day of victory. May God bless His truth to our hearts for Jesus' sake.